You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Since the height of the pandemic, some ideologically right-wing groups have started honing in on school boards and running campaigns to remove books from library shelves. One local researcher who has been covering this push is Claire Woodcock. She joins me live in the studio today. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Shannon.
So thank you for being here on our Fun Drive edition of The Morning Magazine. Listeners, again, if you'd like to call in, that's 303-449-4885. I would be remiss not to mention that, or go online to kgnu.org. But first, let's jump into this interview. I wanted to ask if it's just a perception that ideologically right-wing groups are running more intense pressure campaigns targeting school boards and libraries in the last couple of years, or if it's just that there's more media attention on them.
I think there's definitely more media attention, but I think you wish that it was only a perception, to be honest. I think that some of these groups have become very well organized, and in that organization, it has allowed them to pinpoint weaknesses and really wear down educators and librarians with a lot of this disinformation that's going around about what is available to students in or children in school and public libraries.
You recently authored a story in the Boulder Weekly about a group called Moms for Liberty, a group that has just recently arrived in our area but is present in other states around the country. What's the story there?
Yeah, they started out of Florida. It's a national 501c4 nonprofit, and they have more chapters across different states and in different counties. And, you know, they are really effective at getting members of their chapters elected to school boards across the country. And with that, we've seen a lot of those schools be targeted in book ban crises. And with that challenge, we've seen a disproportionate number of books about LGBTQ identity or by LGBTQ authors and other groups that are basically not white, straight men.
And this is coming as the state of Colorado had, the state legislature a few years ago had voted to approve the adoption of more inclusive social studies standards. So you have this pushback at the same time. And, you know, you mentioned that this group is primarily out of Florida. Florida has banned AP African American studies, as well as there's the famous Don't Say Gay bill. So is it safe to say that there are areas of the country that have become testing grounds for these rather extreme ideological battles, whose tactics are then exported to other states?
Yeah, so I would say it kind of seems to me like every time something happens in Florida, it happens in Texas a couple days later. That's what seems to come up in the news. But we're seeing a lot of things in Tennessee. We're seeing a lot of challenges in Oklahoma and Arkansas, in addition to, yeah, some of these really southern states. So, it was surprising for me to look at the Moms for Liberty website at their map with all of the different counties that light up and see Boulder County lit up.
Mm-hmm. So as journalists, we're often told to follow the money. Do these various groups have funders in common, or do funders bankroll various organizations, giving the appearance of a groundswell of grassroots support, you know, otherwise known as astroturfing?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to it too much. I know they receive money from a conservative group called Conservatives from Good Government. That's a right-wing Florida political action committee. And I think that there are a number of things like that. I've also heard, but am not able to confirm at this time, that they do receive money from the Koch Foundation. So,
yeah. And on a personal opinion level, why do you think so much focus is now on zeroing in on public libraries and public schools?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, during the pandemic, when a lot of students were home and a lot of parents took on the challenging aspects of remote learning and to help their student or help their kids, you know, just get through this really difficult time, they saw some of the things in the curriculums that maybe they hadn't had access to being able to see in the past. And they thought, what are my kids learning? I think it's interesting that we're asking that question now. I mean, we could have been asking that question before, but, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of really good things that have been added into curriculums that are great for diversity and for education around diversity. And I think it's kind of a reaction to a lot of turbulence that had been going on in the last couple of years, and a direct response to some of these initiatives that have been pushed through in schools.
So connect these dots for me. I mean, you have curriculum that's in a school, so, you know, students have to go to school, but there's also public libraries, and those are completely optional. But public libraries are also under attack in a way that university libraries are not necessarily. What is the common denominator between public schools and public libraries?
So it's interesting. You have a lot of authors, like famous authors, that will say, like, oh, well, if books are being banned in your school libraries, they can also you can just go to your public library and find it there. That's not always necessarily the case. I think that there is this idea that if you can get it out of schools and you can get it out of public libraries, it becomes less accessible for people. And that's taking away an ability to possibly, like, not everyone can afford to buy the books on Amazon. Not everyone can go to their local bookstore. Not every local bookstore might have those books, but they probably do. But yeah, I think that there's this element of just get these books out of anywhere that a child could get it. We've seen books that across the country that have been just like LGBTQ themed books that have been taken and put on shelves, like behind counters that children can't reach. And it's just a really weird and interesting time to be a reporter on the library beat.
Claire Woodcock, reporter on the library beat, also a researcher on libraries. And we are in our spring fund drive, so we got to bring it back to asking for money. I'm here with Sam Fuqua, who actually has some great insight into libraries and public education.
Oh, well, the one thing I was thinking as I was listening to your conversation with Claire Woodcock is, well, A, of course, I think public libraries are one of the great ideas humans have ever had, the idea of a free public library. And that one thing that means to me is a multiplicity of ideas and information. I'm sure if I went to the Boulder Public Library today or any public library in this country, I would find books with ideas that I disagree with strongly in some cases. But I still want those books to be on the shelf. So when I hear about a group like, what was it, Moms for Liberty?
Moms for Liberty,
That want to restrict access to books in the public library, I think that's, you know, that's an inappropriate response, you know, clearly. And I know that there's books in the library that maybe I would rather people not read, or ideas that I perhaps find abhorrent, but I support their right to be there. So it's a fundamental contradiction between the role of public libraries when we say we're going to pick and choose what books are on the shelves in those libraries.
Well, for me, the through line is public education, access to information. And I think that also goes to KGNU and what we do here. I don't agree with everything that's said on KGNU either, but I do believe that it should be available for people to consider. And, you know, we were talking with the mics closed earlier. Sam, you were on the BVSD school board for many years. You were also a commissioner of the Library Commission as well.
Yeah.
And you were also station manager, news director, all that at KGNU. Yeah. And I was, you know, we were teasing about, like, well, what's the gateway into all of this? And one of it is, of course, volunteer time. But I also think it has to do with public education.
Yeah.
Because we are engaged in public education here at KGNU. You know, education doesn't stop at the 12th grade. It doesn't stop at whenever you decide to stop it or when you have gotten your degree. Education is a lifelong journey. And we want to be here with you as you do that.
I think that's right. And, you know, it's easy to take these things for granted: free public education, free public libraries, free independent media. But I feel lucky to have had all those things in my life and that my kids had those things. And so we have to give back in whatever way we can. And I think what we're trying to do this morning is ask people to give back a little bit of money, you know. And so I understand that some people listening don't have a lot of money to give. But think about what you can afford, and even a few dollars will help us this morning. We'll put it to good use. We'll open the microphones to excellent independent journalists like Claire Woodcock. We'll open the microphones to members of the community to share their opinions, their expertise, and we will give you beautiful music from all over the planet every day. That's what we'll do with your money. So give us a little bit right now at 303-449-4885, and don't take this resource for granted. 303-449-4885 or pledge online at kgnu.org, and you will help us get it done for KGNU. And I think very directly you help the entire community when you help KGNU, just as we invest in public schools, even though we may not, maybe our kids are long gone from the public schools like mine. Maybe our kids are teeny and aren't in the public schools yet. Maybe we don't have kids, but we all have to invest in that public resource, as I believe we do in our public libraries and this independent media institution that has been here for 45 years because of that investment by individuals.
And unlike public schools and public libraries, KGNU is not the result of a tax. That's we
right.
do There's, depend on yeah, you. Yeah. And we do want to thank Patricia, who called in from Boulder. She says, I love KGNU and appreciate it. Also like the 7 a.m. news on weekdays. She's taking a 45th anniversary mug, so won't you join her? Those mugs are available at the 88.5 level, the 88.5, like our FM frequency. Now, I know that you're going to call up 303-449-4885 as soon as I start this next segment, or go online. It's really quick and easy at kgnu.org. First, I want to thank Claire Woodcock for joining us this morning. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you so much for having me.